Why do the big disruptions always seem to come from startups? Companies like Uber, PayPal, Airbnb, and Tesla have shaken up their respective industries. And it may seem obvious to us that it takes a brand new business led by a young, brash entrepreneur to make those kinds of bold moves. But does it have to be that way? Couldn't larger, established companies create their own disruptive ventures? They can, and they should, according to Linda Yates, author of the book, The Unicorn Within, How Companies Can Create Game-Changing Ventures at Startup Speed. Linda is the founder and CEO of Mach 49, a growth incubator whose clients include Goodyear, Intel, Shell, many other global businesses as well. Here's Linda with five big ideas from her book.
Greetings, everyone. My name is Linda Yates, and I'm a native Californian. And that only matters because I grew up in the Silicon Valley with all the people who founded the venture capital industry. They were all friends of my family, so I've been deeply rooted and connected here my entire existence. But most of my professional career has been in the boardrooms and C-suites of the Global 500. So I'm bilingual between these two worlds. I'm also the founder and CEO of Mach 49, the growth incubator for global companies, and the author of the new book being published by Harvard Business Review Press, The Unicorn Within, How Companies Can Create Game-Changing Ventures at Startup Speed. I'm honored to be here today and excited to share five key insights on how you can unleash the unicorn within. Insight one, the principles of venture building. Understand customer pain, marry it with the art of the possible, and place a series of small bets. All great ventures start with understanding customer pain. No one knew they wanted a DVR, a microwave oven, or a minivan. But what they could tell you was their pain. They weren't getting home in time to watch their favorite show. They didn't have time to cook a healthy meal. And they were having to cart an ever-increasing number of kids, dogs, and sporting equipment to myriad places. They can tell you their pain. Once you understand the pain, you can take that customer pain and marry it with the art of the possible. What are the current trends and technology you can employ to solve that customer pain? Remember, Uber doesn't exist if we don't have mobile phones, GPS, and real-time payments. The challenge many large companies have is that they don't understand the art of the possible. They don't stay current. So they have a hard time coming up with disruptive solutions to customer pain. Once you have a set of possible solutions, you place a series of small bets. You do pilots, you run experiments, you test, iterate, pivot, and test again. In Silicon Valley, we look at funding like an onion. Every layer of the onion is a layer of risk. It could be market risk, financial risk, technical risk, or in the case of a large company, governance risk. You love your venture to death or you starve it of oxygen. The goal of any entrepreneur, whether inside a large company or in a traditional startup, is to remove the greatest amount of risk on the least amount of capital. So you have to run experiments to prove you can mitigate risks before you can unlock subsequent rounds of funding. Insight two, the process. Ideate, incubate, accelerate. If what we just talked about are the underlying principles of venture building, these are the steps. Ideate. The first step in venture building is to make sure you have an idea you can incubate in the first place. Typically, companies fall into one of three buckets when it comes to the ideate phase. They have one or two great ideas that they are ready to incubate. They have too many ideas and need to conduct what we call a portfolio review to prioritize these ideas. Or they don't have a specific venture, but they have a domain they want to explore. For example, we had one client who was interested in water, road safety, and food, but you can't incubate water. You can, however, incubate zero water homes, as one of our Japanese clients has done. To move from domain to incubatable idea, companies will often do domain explorations or ecosystem maps and even venture competitions. Remember, garbage in, garbage out. So it is important to pay attention to how you are assessing ideas during the ideate phase, to ensure you only incubate those ventures with the greatest potential, which brings us to step two in the process, incubate. Once you have a great idea, you move to incubate. And incubating a venture typically takes 12 to 14 weeks and has three primary activities, customer, product, and business. Customer development is the work you are doing to make sure there is enough customer pain. Over the course of the incubation, you will do three types of interviews: open-ended pain point interviews, storyboard interviews, and prototype interviews. If there isn't enough pain, you need to kill the venture. However, if you discover lots of pain, you get to move to the next activity, identifying the product, service, or solution you want to use to solve that pain. The magic moment in any incubate phase is not pitch day. It is actually that moment when your team moves from pain to an exciting product, service, or solution. This is the phase where you ask, what should we build? Can we build it? Can we deliver it? Or if we can't build it, can we buy, partner, or invest to make it happen? If the only way to solve the pain is time travel, well, guess what? We don't have time travel. So you will need to shelve or kill the venture because the solution isn't feasible to build. However, if there is enough pain and the product is feasible, then you get to move to the last phase of incubate, which is building a very rigorous and robust business and operating plan that you will present to your new venture board members to decide go or no go, fund or no fund. Besides information on the customer and the product, the business plan needs to include size of market, the business model, the funding ask, the operating plan, the gives and the gets. In other words, what is the venture going to give to the mothership and what does it need to get from the mothership to thrive? Risks and competition, why us, and do it on Monday. The immediate next steps you will take, assuming you get funded. Once funded, you get to move to the last stage. Accelerate. Congratulations. You are now a real venture being launched into the market. You get to move to the stage that most companies mess up, the accelerate phase. This is the stage when your whole focus needs to be on moving your venture from funding to product market fit and early revenue. Accelerate has three stages and what we call five swim lanes. The stages are build to validate, build to automate, and build to grow. The five swim lanes are the areas you need to be experimenting with to remove the greatest amount of risk and the least amount of capital across these three stages. The five swim lanes include product. Everyone, when they get launched, focuses on building and testing the product. And indeed, that is the first swim lane. But you got funded to create a venture, a whole new company. So you have to also be focusing on go-to-market. Can you find prospects and convert them to users and buyers? What is the best model for acquiring customers? What selling models work? Your business model is another swim lane. Can you get someone to pay? When and how are they likely to want to pay? And what's the pricing model you're going to use? When you look at the swim lanes, operations and unit economics are also critical. Can you deliver the product, solution, or experience to the customer profitably? How will you set up the infrastructure? Will you take advantage of shared services at the mothership? And if so, how and which ones? Can you get to positive unit economics? Because if you can't, your venture will not survive. And finally, the last swim lane is around team. Can you recruit, hire, and pay the team you need across all these swim lanes at every stage? Insight three, the people. NVTs, NVBs, NVAs, and the Venture Factory team. There are four types of teams involved in venture building, which means lots of exciting opportunities to participate and be engaged across your organization. The new venture team are your founders, your internal entrepreneurs who are passionate about the idea and are ready to turn it into a new venture. And we don't just mean the millennials. Disruptors come in every age, gender, race, sexual orientation, geography, learning difference, or any other category you want to define. We do mean people who thrive with ambiguity, can handle a fast pace, and love talking to customers. Your NVB, your new venture board, are the senior executives who are your internal venture capitalists. Not only do they provide the funding and make the go-no-go decisions, they are the people who must lean in and engage. They must provide access to the customers that differentiate you from other startups. They can open doors to the core competencies, capabilities, and assets the mothership can provide to ensure your success. And they can remove the friction that comes from the inertia, orthodoxies, and antibodies that at some point you will run into. The new venture advocates are your third team. Not everyone wants to be an entrepreneur building a venture, but many in your company are entrepreneurial and want to disrupt or advance the work of their function or department. The new venture advocates will be the ones providing services to the venture team, the ones making sure the ventures can seize the mothership advantage, and the ones helping the ventures reach escape velocity. For example, who in legal will write the one-page term sheet for the pilot a customer wants to run with the venture, not a 40-page term sheet? Who in procurement will get the new vendor that the startup needs to partner with on your approved list in a week versus 90 days? Who in HR is able to write the spec for that growth hacker they have never heard of before? Or fast-track employees needed to build the new venture who don't look like your typical employee? Or more challenging, implement that phantom share plan the venture needs to attract great team members? Who in marketing is going to challenge the traditional brand police and help the new venture develop momentum in the market? One of our very successful ventures is a wholly owned subsidiary of the mothership. It was going to use the wholly owned brand of the mothership as approved by the top executives in the company. And the brand police still wasted 6 weeks delaying the venture's launch, saying, "That's not possible. You can't use that brand." Finally, the last team is your venture factory team. That's the team that becomes expert in the process and helps you build not just one venture, but a portfolio of ventures. Which brings us to insight 4, the platform. Build your venture factory. To truly institutionalize growth for decades to come, every company can and should build and run its own venture factory, or even better, their own growth division. No venture capitalist invests in one venture, nor should you only build one venture. You need a pipeline and portfolio of ventures to drive meaningful growth. Among the many benefits to building a venture factory, keep these three in mind as prime. New ventures. A venture factory drives growth by creating and launching a portfolio of high-quality new ventures, manages the downside risk by reducing the greatest amount of risk on the least amount of capital, and develops a laser-like focus on solving customer pain. The second benefit is access to talent. Building a venture factory sends a message that the company is committed to real innovation and providing creative growth opportunities for its people, not just for its shareholders, which in turn enables the company to recruit and retain a pool of highly motivated and often exceptionally talented internal entrepreneurs. Our venture factories often become the darling of the chief human resources officer because they can set up a rotation through the incubator or accelerator for their best and brightest that is sure to beat any of the offerings from their worn-out 19th century catalog of leadership development programs. The last benefit is growth-capable executive leadership. By focusing on growth through venture building, a senior executive is forced to expand his or her playbook and shift their mindset from being management review board members to adopting the discipline and mindset of top-tier VCs in Silicon Valley and beyond. They learn to execute a portfolio strategy, building many, not just one, to think in terms of seed funding, not overspending too early, to focus on option value, not net present value, and to obsess on customer acquisition and revenue as the early key performance indicators most relevant to a startup, not short-term profit. You must build a blueprint for your venture factory and make decisions on how you will run it by design, not by default. You will also want to consider whether beyond a venture factory, you want to create a growth division. One of the challenges large companies face is that the financial markets do not do them justice when they look at their internal ventures. Think about it. Our startups in Silicon Valley go public and get a hall pass for years before they are expected to turn a profit. Yet they get incredible valuations solely on the financial markets using the metrics of customer acquisition and revenue growth. Our big companies deserve those valuations as well. And creating a division that is responsible for developing and nurturing new ventures often enables that division at least to have a different set of metrics you can report that are separate from the core and legacy business metrics. Financial markets need to value the unicorns within and reward them with the same or better multiples than pure startups who have none of the advantages large companies possess. And this brings us to our last insight, the purpose. Do good and have fun. There are two altruistic reasons why I founded Mach 49 and wrote this book. First, people are living longer and longer due to healthcare and technology. That means that they will be working longer and longer. And as much as we celebrate startups, most people are employed by large companies, and they need meaningful, purposeful work. I believe most large companies need to look more like Berkshire Hathaway and have a portfolio of companies and new ventures, as it allows people to be more creative, stay closer to the customer, move with agility, kill things that aren't working, and ensure that those that are working can reach escape velocity. The second reason we founded Mach 49 and wrote this book is because the big, hairy challenges we face on this planet, climate change, education, disease, racism, poverty, hunger, water, disappearing species, and other challenges need our big companies to know how to disrupt, innovate, and experiment to solve them. Whatever your values, your duty is to build ventures that reflect the change you want to affect in the world. Big companies have within their power the ability to address every one of these challenges. If we fall into the trap of all or nothing, that the challenges are too overwhelming, we risk doing nothing. If we think that's not our job, that it's government's task to fix that problem, and that we personally can do nothing, we are wrong, and deeply so. Each and every one of us have within us the capacity to drive profound change. New ventures can be bold. They are a way to place the small bets we need to test solutions. They can move with speed and agility, and when managed right, are unbounded by the status quo. Even if your new idea isn't destined to solve anything so grand, the way you go about building your venture can do good in and of itself. You and your incubators and your ventures can be role models in the way you hire, use resources, treat people, interact with partners, engage with the environment, accept differences, respect human rights, and play for the long term, not just the quarter. You can do well by doing good, and you can have fun along the way. Whether you are in the C-suite leading the way or the entrepreneur making it happen, each and every one of us can drive positive, sustainable, meaningful growth for ourselves, our companies, and yes, even our planet. The time to start is now. The moment is here. Go do great things. Thanks for listening and enjoy the book.
Thank you, Linda. That was Linda K. Yates with 5 Big Ideas from The Unicorn Within, how companies can create game-changing ventures at startup speed. For more ways that established businesses can respond to the threat of startups, check out our BookBite 4, Disruption Proof, Empower People, Create Value, Drive Change by Brant Cooper. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.